Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome to another episode of 3GT. This is the podcast where Kyle Borg, Scott Hunt, and Barry York gather together and talk about topics of theology, culture, entertainment sometimes, although I don't participate much in those discussions. So we're glad you're here with us today. How are you guys doing?
Doing really well. We had our first snow last night, so I'm trying to recover. I can't believe it was already snowing. So
yeah, I left my office today and it was snowing outside and I was a little bit grumpy. I apologize if that bleeds over into this episode.
We've come to expect it from you, Scott.
Snowing in Kansas, snowing in Indiana, but only raining cats and dogs in Pennsylvania. I almost didn't make it to the podcast. The roads were so flooded. But we're glad you are with us today, and we want to bring to you a topic today that was actually suggested to us by a listener who wanted to get our thoughts with respect to the LGBTQ and whatever other letter you want to add to that, controversies out in our culture. They talked to this particular reader, Andy, talked about how there's a lot in the news regarding the cake bakers who've refused to make cakes for those in the LGBTQ community. And this listener wants to ask us a different question. But before we get there to that different question, are you guys aware of these cases that have been in the news regarding the cake bakers? I know there's been one here in the U.S. and then actually, when I was in Ireland last year, I had the privilege of not only meeting, but worshiping with Daniel and Amy MacArthur, who were at the center of the controversy regarding the Asher Bakery Company, because a particular customer came in and asked for a cake that had the words on the top of it, support gay marriage, and they refused to do that. And the impending lawsuits and court cases took them all the way up to the Supreme Court, where they were finally vindicated and not required to pay all the hefty fines and things of that nature that were being required of them by some of the lower court actions. But they were a delightful couple, and their testimony in court and particularly outside the courtroom caught on video is very powerful, and they're humble yet loyal allegiance to Christ clearly shone through with their testimony before a watching world. So I've gotten to interact with them somewhat on this. What about you guys? Have you been aware of these cases in the news?
I'm vaguely aware of the case, I believe it was out in Colorado, where a baker refused to make a cake for a gay wedding. I believe those are the facts. And I know it has been adjudicated. I think he was vindicated, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't heard of a lot of cases like that. Usually you just hear about one and then everybody else falls in line. But it is a big issue in what's going on in our country and our world.
So nothing in Marion that you've had to defend or prosecute?
No, nothing in Marion. Okay. It would be a civil action anyway. I wouldn't have to deal with it.
Nothing in Winchester either, if you guys were wondering. But I have, you know, I've read the news headlines, you know, followed some of those cases, whether it's a baker baking a cake for a wedding or even photographers who would be in charge of taking pictures for those weddings. So I'm familiar with it.
What are your guys' thoughts about these cases? If you were a baker and someone came in and asked, you knew they were a homosexual couple getting ready to get married and they ask you to make a cake for their wedding, or even this guy who asked that it be written on the top of the cake's support gay marriage. Would you stand? Do you think the MacArthurs were right in their stance, for instance? And what's your reasoning, rationale for resisting doing that if that would be the case.
I kind of could give two rationales for my support of the MacArthurs. I think probably would one that would be more appropriate for this podcast would be the theological, but I think there's a legal basis for it as well, that you should not have to do that. You should not be forced to go against your conscience, regardless of what business you're in. From that perspective, it would be akin to somebody who hates Christians refusing to bake a cake in the shape of a cross or, you know, write Merry Christmas on a cake. And I think that people have that absolute right to say, no, I'm not going to do that for you. That's not what I believe. And I think at least in America, we're afforded that right. Now, whether or not we think that's biblical or not, that's what we're afforded in America. And so based on that, I think that somebody who opposes homosexual marriage or supporting gay rights, I mean, I think that's completely legal and appropriate. And I think biblically there's a basis for not supporting that or taking a stand against those things as well.
Mm-hmm. So I have some thoughts too, but before I do, Scott, I would actually really value as a lawyer, I think it'd be really helpful. You know, where do you draw the line between refusing service on what we might call discriminatory grounds and something like this? How as a lawyer might you reason through that? You know, because while at the same time I would say I want to respect somebody's mm-hmm. conscience, if somebody were to open a store and say, well, I refuse to serve a person of a different ethnic color or something like that, I would think, whoa, wait mm-hmm. a second here. Like, there's some problems with that. Am I being inconsistent or what would be a lawyer's idea?
From a purely legal standpoint, not from a ethical or moral standpoint, but from purely legal, there are certain classes of people that are provided protection. You're provided protection based on your race, your sex, your ethnicity, your country of origin, disabilities. So those things that are, I guess you could say, inherent in your being, you cannot be discriminated against for those things. Disability might be, you know, if there's something that has happened to you, you can't be discriminated because, you know, you have one arm or something like that. The issue with LGBTQ is that it is not recognized as a protected class of citizens, so there is not a legal mandate that you do not discriminate against them. And so as I think that is the legal line that is drawn. And so they are fighting to get recognized as a protected class. And that's why it is, so that they can force the issue in these other areas.
They're trying to move it out of the realm of behaviors to essence or to essential quality. I'm born this way would be part of their argumentation. So just like a black person or a white person is born that way, they're trying to argue that same grounds, right?
Yes. Of course, and just to throw a little twist in here, you have people who are born male who say they are women. I mean, to me, that's akin to somebody who is born white saying they are African-American. You know, it just doesn't mm-hmm. work that way. So there are some real conundrums they put themselves in, but at base, that is exactly right, Barry, that they're trying to shift this from a personal choice, personal preference to a essential quality of their existence.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's helpful. I didn't mean to get us too far afield. As a lawyer, I value hearing that. I think by and large, you know, when I think of these cases, I think the strongest argument is the liberty of conscience. And that if these people do not feel that they can conscientiously do something like bake a cake or take pictures at a wedding that would support LGBTQ, I think it's neither safe nor right, as our friend Luther once said about going against conscience. And so I think we need to do what we can to protect that. Now, if there's a Christian that can conscientiously do that and say, you know, my baking of a cake or my taking of pictures is not an approval, I'm just rendering a service, you know, a guy in a, for instance, a men's warehouse who's selling a suit, you know, it doesn't really matter in particular if the sexual orientation of that person, you're not involved in any sin. if you help tailor a suit to that individual. And I know that photography and cakes bring in the question of artistic license and you know, using your gifts in that way. But I do think personally, and I'm willing to receive a little bit of pushback, that if a Christian said, well, I'm not conscientiously opposed to it, I don't support it, I don't approve of LGBTQ things, I believe what the Bible teaches about it, I just don't think that my taking pictures or baking a cake is going to implicate me in the moral responsibility of that sin, I think I would also respect that personally.
So where do you enter the realm, though, of it being a practice that is condoning what the homosexual community is doing or the transgender community is doing? When, of course, we're thinking about Christians serving in these roles, trying to work through this, you know, it might be one thing to sell, as you said, Kyle, a suit to someone, and not really factor in to their decision to sell the suit what the person's sexual orientation is or that type of thing. But when does it become a situation where a believer is condoning the activity? How do you process that? When do we get to the point where we're clearly our salt is losing its saltiness in the culture?
Well, I'm going to do something I rarely do, and I'm going to come to Kyle's defense on this.
Yes!
Wow.
The water's on my side.
kind of. I think the issue is, let's put this in another realm and take the sin aspect of it away, or the particular sin aspect of it away. Not that it's not sinful, but do you raise a question of conscience when you see a woman who is pregnant getting married to a man? You know, she comes in, a clearly pregnant woman, saying, hey, I need a wedding cake for me and my husband-to-be. He just got his divorce finalized. We want to do this. So if you bake a cake for them, are you supporting adultery? Are you supporting fornication? Are you supporting a marriage that is not based upon biblical principles? Yeah, I mean, the argument could be made that you're doing the exact same thing in that situation as you are for two people who are a homosexual couple wanting to get married. That's not to say I think everybody should bake a cake. I'm not advocating for that, but I'm advocating for a more biblical response that takes this particular sin out of the equation. And how do Christians deal with non-Christians in a business sense, overall?
Well, I think just going back to what the MacArthurs said, they said that they would bake cakes for homosexual people, that they've done that. And the particular person, I think, that sued them had actually been a customer of theirs for quite some time. But that a line was drawn when he required them to put support gay marriage on the top of the cake. So I think probably that would be one dividing line or one line of demarcation is, obviously, we're to serve as Christians. We're to serve all people, and particularly, we have to serve sinners and be around sinners as Jesus was. But when it comes to the point of actually this action of mine is going to be seen as openly condoning what they're doing, I think that's where we have to say we draw the line, and that's where they drew the line. And I really agree with what stance they took.
Yeah, so I want to be very clear, because I know Scott would agree with me, and Barry, you would agree as well, that, you know, to celebrate as a positive good the agenda of LGBTQ, to approve that is itself sin. And the Apostle Paul emphasizes that in Romans chapter 1, as he goes into the character of that unrighteousness for which the wrath of God is being revealed. You know, he concludes that chapter by saying, though they know God's righteous decree and that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. And so to give approval to those who engage in the unrighteousness for which the wrath of God is coming, that approval itself is culpable in the eyes of God. And so I want to be very clear about that. At the same time, the question becomes, well, you know, where is that line? I think the question you're asking, Barry, is where is the line crossed between providing a service and actually approving and or celebrating this? And it's probably not the world's most helpful answer, but maybe it is. I think each conscience needs to be guided by the scriptures in that. You know, this family in Ireland said, you know, to write a very explicitly approving message on a cake is going too far. And I don't begrudge them at all for letting that be the line that is drawn for their conscience. At the same time, I'm very sympathetic to what Scott said. You know, do we in Christian business practices, do we need to have a moral litmus test? You know, is a baker, and maybe it's an awkward position, but, you know, a guy's getting married for the fourth time. Well, are you going to write congratulations on that? Is that necessarily giving approval to something that God himself would not give approval to? And so there's this part of me that wants to say, you know, let each be informed in their own conscience. We stand or fall before God alone. You know, I'm not the master of another to judge them. They're a servant of Jesus. I do wonder sometimes if Paul's advice in, is it 1 Corinthians 8, you know, don't ask questions for conscience sake. Maybe sometimes that would be a really good practice when we come to think of some of these business practices. If you can get away with it, don't ask questions just for the sake of conscience and go with it. But I don't know, maybe that's not the most helpful answer.
Well, I think it is. I think we have to be really careful that we're not judging people, particularly believers who are trying to navigate the difficult twists and turns of living in this world in some ways, where they're wanting to be a faithful witness, and what one person might do in a given situation. In another situation, that same person may choose not to do it simply because they know it could be seen as condoning sin. So I think we have to be careful not to quickly rush to a judgment in these situations. But you guys are really taking us into a segue into the real issue that our listener, Andy, asked us about. And let me just read what he asked here. I think this is a good question because I've actually seen this myself with some professing believers doing what he's saying here, and how should the church respond? He says, how about a member of a church in good standing who decides to bake a wedding cake or photograph or in some way celebrate a gay wedding? Further than that, the member posts on social media what a wonderful event it was, how much love was expressed at the event. Should they be subject to church discipline for celebrating something overtly sinful? So I'm glad I get to ask that question rather than answer it.
Yeah, I think, should they be subject to church discipline? Let me just back the trolley up a hair. They certainly need to be subject to the shepherding of the church. You know, discipline in the church is for unrepentant sin. And there is a line there that is being crossed, because there is an approval and there is a celebration of that which God calls wrong. And we cannot, it is a sin for Christians to celebrate sin. Not only is it a sin, it's flat out unloving. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And so to celebrate or to give approval to something like that is actually to undercut the second greatest commandment, in the least. It's to undercut the second greatest commandment, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. And it is jeopardizing a love to God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And so I think shepherding needs to happen. I think Christians need to be discipled to understand why this is wrong. Would I immediately jump to discipline? No, and I wouldn't, because we live in a very confusing time. Not confusing because the Bible is unclear. I think the Bible is crystal clear on these topics. But we live in a day and age where there is so much cultural and societal pressure. And it is very hard for some people, you know, and I'm not excusing it. And maybe I don't even want to say I'm being sympathetic to it. But it can be very difficult to reconcile what the scriptures say and how God himself interprets the human heart with what we experience. You know, I know a number of young people growing up in the church and in Bible-believing churches that speak against these things, And that's very easy when you're behind your four walls and you're not out there in culture. And suddenly they meet their neighbor, and their neighbor is a homosexual and wanting to live life in their mind in a monogamous relationship, you know, that honors another person. It can be a collision of two worldviews, and that can be very difficult. And so would I jump to discipline immediately? No. Shepherding, absolutely. Our members need to be discipled to understand that there is nothing praiseworthy, there is nothing good, there is nothing lovely about this. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are writing about the necessity of sexual purity, you know, they remind the Thessalonians that to reject these commandments is to reject God himself. And God is an avenger against all these things. He's an avenger against all kinds of sexual immorality. And people really need to be shepherded. They need to be discipled in our day and age. Again, not because the Bible is unclear, but I think the culture and society and the pressure that puts can really put Christians in a very confusing spot.
Yeah, and what I would say is I agree with Kyle in large part. I think there needs to be a distinction made in who is, you know, celebrating the gay wedding and saying this is such a great and loving thing. If it's a pastor or a ruling elder, I think that discipline would be the appropriate first step. I think we need to judge these things based on the circumstances of each case. If you have a new believer who is still learning, still being discipled, I absolutely agree that it is not time to bring in harsh discipline. It is time to bring in shepherding and come alongside and show them through the scriptures what is to be approved and what is to be rejoiced in. But if you have a pastor or an elder who is celebrating these things, I think we're into something completely different. And I think in those cases, you probably should seriously consider moving straight into discipline or at least investigating in that direction.
I agree with Scott on that. There are certain issues, right? We don't expect every pastor and every ruling elder to have a full, comprehensive, in-depth theological knowledge of all things. But there are certain topics of which we cannot afford to be fuzzy and confused about. And I think this is one of them. And so if an elder or a pastor, if an office bearer in the church is espousing this view, my response to them is going to look different than a church member. And I'm going to tell an ordained person, you don't have a right to be confused on this. You just don't. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's really helpful. I know going back to Scott's earlier point about how we sometimes respond to the LGBTQ issues, and then when it comes to another form of immorality, such as adultery, we don't have as quite a quick response to that, or even a faithful response to that. I know that there's been a couple of situations where folks in the church have had family members living in immoral situations and, you know, then wanting to, in a sense, put a stamp of approval on that by, you know, tying the marriage bonds together. And they've refused to go to the wedding because it just feels like it's celebrating the sinful situation that was there in the first place. So, for instance, if two people committed adultery and then they're going to go get married, Christians should really think twice about being involved in those kinds of services as we should think twice about going to a homosexual wedding. To be honest, I don't think you have to think twice about going to a homosexual wedding. I would tell any believers, I think part of our witness to them is that there's no way that we can witness that because it's wrong. It's just wrong. It's against God's law. It's against God's nature. It's wrong. And to go and be present at those types of ceremonies, I think we need to be encouraging and training our people away from that. Because if they go there, they're going to be hearing false gospels, false messages, and it's going to get very confusing for them morally, I believe.
Yeah, and I think I appreciate that. Because we also have to remember that this is not a topic for the ivory tower. That as pastors, as elders in the church, we inevitably deal with this question from family members who love their family a lot. Mm-hmm. And this is a very complex question, you know, and I think as, you know, I agree with you, Barry, when it comes to a same-sex marriage, I think scripture would be very clear. That is an unnatural thing. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 1 talks about how unnatural that is. And there can be no appearance of approving that. And an attendance at a wedding is approval. You know, people are binding themselves together in the presence of God and witnesses, or a lot of people view weddings that way. And so to be a witness there is to approve of what is happening. You're kind of standing for them, whether you're on the stage with them or not. But, you know, this is a very real issue that people deal with. And I do think it's very important to apply some of Paul's logic from 1 Corinthians 5, where Paul is warning the church against the sexually immoral. And he says, don't associate with the sexually immoral. And then he immediately adds that caveat, you know, when I say don't associate with the sexually immoral, I'm not talking about the sexually immoral of this world, because then you'd have to go out of the world. And he says, but don't associate with those who call themselves brother and are living in sexual immorality. You know, Paul there, and maybe just to qualify for our episode, we're not saying in all of this that you can't associate with these people. Mm-hmm. We are saying you can't approve it. You can't carry yourself in such a way where you are celebrating or approving their sin. That doesn't mean we can't associate with them.
Yes.
And Paul makes that very clear in 1 Corinthians 5. Look, if they're not a brother and they're sexually immoral, yes, they're living in sin, and yes, they need the gospel and they need the hope of Jesus Christ. But Paul doesn't say, oh, keep them all at an arm's distance and you can't talk to them. You can't. Paul says, no, that's exactly what I'm not telling you, because you'd have to leave the world.
So. Right. Yes, I think that's very helpful. Well, any other thoughts, guys, as we come to the end of this episode?
I think I've spoken my piece today.
Very passionately, Scott, very passionately. Thank you. Well,
I guess my one encouragement to people would be, you know, if you find yourself in this situation, make use of your shepherds, your under shepherds, have them help you sort through. And, you know, there's so many difficult questions and complexities that can surround certain issues like this. And that's why your elders are there. Your elders are there to help shepherd you, to guide you, to lead you, to protect you. And that's what they're going to do if they're fulfilling their call from Christ. So make use of them.
Yes, I appreciate that piece of counsel. And it ties right in with the need to pray, because many times when we're trying to figure out what to do in certain situations such as this, we really do need the wisdom of the Lord. Well, as you can tell, when we get questions from our listeners, we really appreciate that. Often they get us thinking about topics we might not have addressed had we not been written to. So if you'd like to send in your own ideas, feel free to do so. You can write us at threeguystheologizing@gmail.com. If you don't know how to spell that, which would be quite easy to not be able to do, you could go over to our website, which is easy to spell because it's just 3GT.xyz. And you can find out our email address there. You can see more about our podcast. You can listen to previous episodes. And if you're so inclined, you can donate to help keep us on the air. But for now, we're just grateful you've tuned in to this episode of 3GT, and we hope you'll tune into the next one. Thank you.